Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Hanberg. NHL Productions will televise Blue Jackets games this season, the team announced today. Columbus is one of three teams to have their telecast produced by the league this season, joining Minnesota and St. Louis. More CBJ, Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman reported the Jackets and goaltender Jack Greaves are nearly $5 million apart in arbitration filings. The team is aiming to sign Greaves for $2.8 million, while Greaves is seeking $7.5 million. Per Friedman, the arbitration hearing is headed to Toronto on Thursday. Baseball, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40 after slugging a home record tying seven homers in Monday's 13-4 win. Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40 after dropping Monday's series opener 8-0. Fan coverage starts at 9:10. This update sponsored by Germain Toyota. For unbeatable service and sales, visit Germain Toyota on the corner of I-70 and Bryce Road or online at germaintoyota.net. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rando Tuesday style. Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman. My man, Justin Zwick, Jay-Z in the house.
The Rando, baby. Let's go.
On a Rando Tuesday, the parade of tall ships continues. TLC at the switches. How we feeling, my man?
I'll tell you what. I'm hurting. I did a little three-day golf tournament last weekend, and as an old man, I'm not that old yet, but I felt like I got hit by a truck on Sunday morning, and I don't know why.
The back? What?
Everything. Like the whole body was just sore, and I'm like, all I've done is swing about 150 times over 3 days. But I'm like, I don't know. Uh-huh. I didn't get off the couch, which was nice because the Open was on early in the morning. So kids were at Cosi. I got to hang out. But 2 days later, I just had to have a coffee before I came in here because I am still, I don't know what happened to me. I mean, I might have an idea. But 3 days of golf in that heat and that smoke absolutely crushed me.
Oh, so you were out there during
Purple Rain. Yeah, and it was all right, well, at least the sun's maybe off of us because of the smoke. Yeah. Now, I don't know what the smoke is doing to my insides, but we fought through it. And then Sunday, I crashed. And I'm still, you know, I see LeBron's name on this list of stuff we're going to talk about today. And I'm like, how in the heck is he going out and playing 65 basketball games at kind of the same age I am when I just played 3 days of golf and I can't move?
He's golf obsessed now too.
Well, I know, and I hate it because he's gonna play all the greatest courses in the world, and I'm so jealous.
The irony of it is, they always say it's a game you can play your whole life. You can, maybe not well, but it does kind of feel like it puts you in an early grave. It's really not good for your spine. It's not good for any of that. And everybody knows as you get older, the discs get thinner and drier. And so what are you doing? You're torquing on a thin, dry pancake in the middle of a disc in your back. And eventually they do what they do, which is herniate, bulge, rip,
none of it's good. And every time before you swing, you can say, nice and easy.
That's right. You're
not going to be nice and easy. We're big, dumb animals. We just want to hit that ball as hard as we can.
I've had buddies that said, you know, let's go on these golf trips. I'm like, okay, like I might be into that. So we like to play 36 every day. And I'm like, no, I need a day in between. I need an off day. So we got a lot for you today on Rando Tuesday here. We'll hit the LeBron odds, just keep flipping every minute. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But his team has kind of put out the anti-campaign that I was promoting, which is make a decision. If it's not going to be Cleveland, make the decision faster. That's all I've said. And his boy Rich Paul is listening because he says, my boy is not going to be rushed on a free agent decision. So as the basketball world turns to wait, he is going to let it revolve around him. So Rich Paul, his friend and agent, teams have to keep waiting. He was on, I don't know what podcast this was. Oh, Game Over with Max Kellerman. We're not going to be rushed. It's his choice. When he makes the choice, he'll make it. Good. That's fine. He's entitled to. I'm just saying that if he cares, which I think he does, a little bit how a certain fan base doesn't want to be teased again, it would be Cleveland. And that's why I'm here to tell you he's entitled to do whatever he wants. Everybody knows that. That's obvious. 24th NBA season, the fact that he still wants to play at 41, 42, God bless. But I'm just saying Cleveland's in the mix, and everybody knows they're in the mix. And if you're putting them in the mix, just don't string it along too far. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my read on this is wrong. Maybe Cavs fan is all about, hey, if he comes back, it's all gravy. But I feel like there's a certain part of this that you will feel like you got the rug ripped out again, and I just don't want that to happen. I still feel like that Cleveland is the betting favorite. TLC has the odds on that. Yesterday it was Miami. Who's the betting favorite today?
Well, it depends when today, because it flipped at about 11:20, and so we now have the Cavaliers, at least that I should probably check it again because these odds are so fluid, but the odds flipped back in favor of Cleveland less than an hour ago.
This is what makes people so angry at LeBron. Now, if he picks us, great. Everybody will forget about it. But there's nobody that knows the NBA in and out more than he's been around for 24 years. He's dialed into everything that goes on. He knows where he wants to go play. It's not that hard of an answer. He knows deep down inside, but he loves the attention. His agent would say no. Well, of course his agent would say no, but every fan that's been around and seen him over the last 20 years and saw the decision and saw everything else, he just loves to make it about himself. And he can do that because he's one of the best players to ever play in that league. I totally get it. And maybe you do want to take your time. You're going on vacation. You're playing some more golf. Don't really want to get down to business. But the guy in his head has to know, like, all right, this is the place I want to be. It's maybe my last year, maybe my last 2 years. What do I want that to look like? There's only one answer in my opinion.
So as of right here, right now, the odds stand at Miami 38% and Cleveland 37%. So it did flip back in favor of Miami, but the margins are thin. I can see how this thing would be insanely addicting because you don't even have to win the bet because you can just buy it until the odds are better and then you can sell it.
Yeah.
So it's just like you don't have to figure out how it ends because obviously it's going to end at 100% something and everyone else is going to be 0%. So you don't even have to wait till that point.
Was that a Fat Boy Slim or a Jesus Jones? I heard a Right Here, Right Now.
I've never heard of either of those two.
One. Okay. All right. Being the youngest guy on the show, I guess that makes sense.
Fat Boy Slim.
I thought maybe it was more of a Jesus Jones reference, but because you dropped a Right Here, Right Now. If you would have
Fat Boy Slim is white?
If you would have...
What?
Let's worry. We'll worry about it. Now it's the non sequitur talk. Like, it's just... One thing begets another. All right. These are the scenarios that I see for him. And I've always been the emotional homecoming guy, the romance of it. But I'll read you this quote by his agent. I think it's important for people to understand. We're not making this about attention and spectacle, Jay-Z. So there you go.
Of course not, no.
It's not about a, quote, decision or anything like that. He has a choice to make. He has a business choice to make. We're not going to sit here and decide or allow someone else to decide when he makes that decision. That's fine. That's acceptable. But then he drops it. It's a business choice that he's making. Wait a minute. I thought it was more about family and making sure
he's happy in his last couple years.
I think as an athlete, why is it that an athlete has to rush his choice? He doesn't. He's correct. He can decide, talk to these teams, get a feeling, talk about it with his family and all that.
I'm here with my family.
But I'm with you on, I think you believe this decision is about legacy. And it's about where he wants to end his career with perhaps a title or making a run at one. He's obviously very competitive. This is not a ceremonial thing.
Mm-mm. So, no, he's not going around just get his flowers at all of his away trips and everything. He wants to have a good shot, you know, late in his career at getting something. And
why else would the Sixers be involved in this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've built a very good roster. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, Jaylen Brown now. Like, they've got Edgecombe. I mean, there's a chance that he could consider that if it's an NBA decision. And it's in the East. Like, I think it's a decent option.
Well, he says business decision, though, right? So, I mean, are you making a Last Dance video of this? What sells more down the road, business-wise? I mean, all of that could come into play because I mean, you know something like that's going to happen. There's going to be a movie that comes out about his last, you know, swan song or something.
I mean, if he
will follow him
around. Sixers haven't won a title in forever, so there's maybe a little motivation there. There have been reports of private jets between Philly and Akron and all that. All right. And then, obviously, the Cavs. The Cavs, this is the one. This is the one. They've got a lot to offer. They're coming off their best non-LeBron season. Like, this is in 30 years. And they just locked up Spider Mitchell for 4 years. Harden gave him some flexibility by declining the player option. They got to get creative to get him in there. Anything close to market value. But if you want to bet on LeBron's next team, to me, I'm staying with Cleveland, and I'm willing to pay up if I'm wrong. Golden State would be in there, and then Miami's in there because they just got Giannis in the trade, and Bam. That's a good front court. I don't know if there's enough shooters around it. That may take a couple years to really challenge for an NBA title, but I could see the appeal there. And then LeBron and Steph, how much is it where they're saying this is what we've wanted to try, and if Jimmy Butler comes back from injury, they'd have the big three, they'd have Draymond defensively. Like,
I mean, that would be must-see like TV, but I don't think there's the threat of going and winning a championship. I think they're just too old. Right? So that one, I think you can take that off the list. I mean, it'd be an all-star team. It'd be like, you know, Team USA getting back together again, but we're all, you know, 40 years old, and that's probably not going to last throughout an entire season.
I'm more than willing to be wrong. I think the longer this goes, the more that there's fear of it. I would be fearful if he didn't pick the Cavs, but I also think the longer it goes, maybe there's a chance that it leans more towards Cleveland because he would know that. All right, we're coming back. And who lit the fire at Michigan? We'll give you some details next. Rothman.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s, pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, a moment for my friends up at McDaniel GM Superstore in Marion. Awesome place. Was up there this weekend. Ty and the boys helping me find the right vehicle. And when I say find, I mean I've got them on a hunt for the right truck. And the guys, they go the extra mile. I know that it's said about a lot of dealerships, but I'm experiencing it personally, so I wanted to share that with you guys. I do feel like I'm a part of it, and it's not just a transaction, and I'm living that right now. And it's not a long drive to Marion. Go just 23 up there, or you can take 71, 36, 37, go over. It's so worth it, trust me. And the deals they have right now at the McDaniel GM Superstore, they're transparent and they're awesome. So if you're looking for a truck like me, whether it's a Silverado 1500 or 2026, you can save up to 13 grand now off MSRP or 0% APR for 60 months or 2.9% for 72 months. Terms and restrictions apply. And if you want something a little smaller, more of a daily drive, the Trax LT Midnight, you can buy that for as low as $365 a month on a 26. Or get this, lease it for as low as $219 a month. Terms and restrictions apply there, but it's really the place to go if you are looking for a new vehicle, a certified pre-owned vehicle. Like I said, just off Route 23 North on 95, and you are there. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. I was thinking about all the stuff with Michigan, and Jay-Z, you can tell me where you are on this. My gut goes to the culture and the aura and everything that surrounded them. To me, the fire was lit with Harbaugh being so hell-bent, and why wouldn't he be, on finally beating Ohio State, and what it was going to take to do that. And when they had lost to them for the eighth straight time, That was their longest losing streak, I think, in the series, Michigan against Ohio State. And then Harbaugh drops to 0-5. And that would have been 2019. So, obviously, prior to COVID. And so, when he was asked about whether the biggest gap involved talent or preparation or coaching, I remember when Harbaugh said, do you remember what his answer was when he was asked that question?
I'm on the edge of my seat here.
He said, I'll answer your questions, not your insults. And at that point, I knew that this thing had tilted. And why would it? He's a competitive athlete, former pro. I get it. Played for Ditka.
He's won everywhere he was at. I mean, up to going to Michigan, right? All the big games.
Yeah. And so I'm just telling you, I think he went back to his office and just started to think, what is it going to take? And
I remember having this one guy come talk to me about something. I'm maybe going to reach back out to him.
And it certainly turned the tide for them, the Stallion situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to relitigate how much it mattered or which games didn't or did. I've always made the analogy of that they were sitting at a blackjack table and they kind of knew every other card that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can make some money that way. And that's kind of what happened. And so I'm not saying they didn't take it seriously or they didn't want to win. And I actually liked Harbaugh's one time he talked about when somebody said, you know, how much more of this can you take? And he's like, we're going to beat them or we're going to die trying. Mm-hmm. Like they were never going to stop. And it was just one of those deals that I think this whole thing turned, the whole culture of this turned on that they couldn't beat Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And when they started pushing the envelope and cutting corners, which I'm not saying other programs don't do, but I feel like that lit the fire. And you can tell me I'm wrong, but when he lost to them for that fifth straight time, I just
well,
feel
then
like,
they forfeited the COVID game, right? I mean, remember that was like, we're going to beat them 100-0, it's going to be ugly. Yeah. And then
guess what happened in 21? It turned.
And then after that, now granted, they had a lot of good, you know, a lot of younger guys back on the team. They were a little bit older those couple years. Mm-hmm. So that does help. I mean, mm-hmm. we're seeing that nowadays where teams are kind of, taking on that aspect of recruiting. Let's get a little bit older and bring some guys in who have experience. So they did have that going for them. But, you know, my brother-in-law went to Michigan, mm-hmm. undergrad dental school. And, when all that's coming out, he's like, oh, it's not a big deal. I'm like, it is a big deal. If you know there's a pass coming or you know there's a run coming, the defense or the offense, I think it is a huge deal. And I think there were times throughout that season where they probably had that in big moments and big games where they were able to use that to their advantage. I think the losing and, you know, I remember him coming, he was out of Stanford. I mean, he's all about integrity, all about this and that and the other and Harbaugh. So it's surprising that this is where he went. But I do think the COVID year, I think he was like, we're not going to go out there and get embarrassed. We got to figure this out. And then, you know, they went on a heck of a run the next few years.
Stallion's thing to me is everything. It turned everything. And it's not like other schools don't try to steal signals mm-hmm. live during games. It happens. He was doing it
at a high clip.
At a high clip. And he was outside the lines on that and outside the law of what it really is. And when that shot of him and on the sideline at Central Michigan, when then Central Michigan was, oh, we got to investigate this and how this happened. That was the game at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of knew that he was hired. He took it upon himself. Yeah, he could offer
supposedly
something.
Supposedly, to go.
Yeah, because if this was just some kind of analytical guru that was crunchy numbers for Harbaugh, then he wouldn't have been on his hip during games. He just wouldn't have been.
You're not talking to those type of people during a game, right?
He was the secret decoder ring.
Mm-hmm.
He was the, it'd be like, you and I don't speak the language and we bring in a translator. Like, he was the guy because he was the one that studied it to the nth degree on other team signals.
It'd be like you playing blackjack and someone talking in your ear saying,
that's right.
Hit. Double down because I know what's coming next.
You guys ever seen that? You ever seen Casino?
Oh, yeah.
The scene where he's wearing the electric buzzer or whatever. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen a TLC? Yeah.
I know Don Rickles is in it.
Don Rickles is great in it, actually. But that's not the name that usually would jump
I mean, for not seeing the movie to pull that out, amazing. That's pretty good, yeah.
I mean,
would it be De Niro?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Is Pacino also in it?
No.
Okay.
No. Joe Pesci's in it.
Joe Pesci.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good one. Check it out.
It's good, and it's funny that I don't have it because there's certain gore that I don't. There's certain just psychological things that I have a tough time with in movies. And the final, like when they take Joe and the brother out to the cornfield.
Like
that to me, I just can't handle it. Like I'll watch that movie all the way up to that, and then it's like, okay,
I know what's happening. I don't need it.
Like it's too psychologically damaging for me. But the guy that was playing Blackjack was wearing the buzzer.
And that didn't go well for him.
No.
And that's what should have happened to Michigan.
They brought him back and said,
but nothing happened to him.
Are you a righty or a lefty? Like, would you?
Yeah.
You're going to be something different now. But yeah, I just think this is where this has gone for them, is that, like, you ask yourself, and I don't even know if you got them secretly lined up and you force them to tell the truth, like, was it worth it? Was it worth it to get to this point? And I bet a lot of them would say, absolutely, it was worth it. Now, as an athlete, This is where it's interesting to me. None of the guys have really, maybe decades from now, guys that played for Michigan during that era will talk and will maybe romanticize it a little
bit. Somebody's going to need some money at some point. They're going to go out and do a documentary on
tell
it.
All and, book yeah, tell all of some all kind of like, yes. What did you really know and how did you know it and how was it, how did it help you? And because it's one of those things that the athletes couldn't, like you can't tell me the guys from Michigan just felt like, our coaches prepared us better than anything we could have ever hoped.
When they're on the sidelines jumping, it's a pass. It's a pass. Man, our coaches are just really, really good at their jobs. We know exactly what they're running.
Yeah. I think he was offering something to Harbaugh at the time that Harbaugh was willing to
take.
But
didn't it even start before that? I mean, I know that everybody said, well, it was a hamburger. He bought a recruit a hamburger. But it was outside of a recruiting window. It was, you knew you weren't allowed to be doing that. And I think that was earlier on in maybe the late teens. So for a good 10 years, I know that's not a huge deal when we're talking about sign stealing and everything. And people do it. But he got suspended for it multiple games. So it must have been a little worse than just a kid hasn't eaten a cheeseburger in 3 days. So I fed him.
Yeah.
I mean, he got suspended three games, I think, for that.
Yeah,
listen, and then another three after that.
Every coach justifies a little bit of that.
I'm not asking for the death penalty for that, but I'm just saying there were signs of things going down this road.
Okay. Yeah, he wasn't squeaky clean.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they all aren't. And
then now you look at it and you have, eight coaches fired or, a couple of them with show causes to come back to college football. Like, there's some serious stuff in there that nobody even just talks about anymore. Like, no big deal. They figured it out. All those coaches are no longer there. We won a championship. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. The advanced scouting that they banned was back in the 90s. They banned it. And so I just think that's where this, if you want to go back and really decide where Michigan decided to sell out to something, I think it was driven by Harbaugh and his motivation to beat Ohio State because he hadn't done it and he didn't know how he was going to do it. And this guy offered him the secret formula to perhaps have the competitive edge to be able to do it. And it turned out to be accurate.
Yeah, it worked.
Now, we move on to this year and the fact that they're trying to get back to the playoff under this cloud of distraction. We'll have that next in 2 minutes. Rothman
and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
You're listening to Roastman and the Icebreaker right here on 97.1, the Fanification.
Indeed you are. Michigan's kind of just, they're not under the radar anymore after all this stuff. But I do think coming into this season, they were a little bit of the forgotten program. I mean, a little bit as far as like being a national title contender and how long is Whittingham going to take to get him get back into this thing. The Bryce Underwood, where is he? Did they pay the wrong guy? Is he worth it? You still have that soundbite TLC from Weddle anywhere when he went to Ann Arbor this year?
Mark my words. I was out there for spring ball. Don't be surprised if the backup's playing early because that Underwood kid, I don't think he could throw or play quarterback. So we'll see.
Really?
It's like, I don't understand. I don't understand, it's just quarterbacks in general. It's just shocking to see that the lack of good QB play is really kind of hard hard to understand.
Boy, that's quite an assessment. I don't think he can throw or play quarterback. So Eric Weddle is not a Michigan man. Eric Weddle went to Utah and played for Kyle Whittingham and then went on to the league and won a Super Bowl and became a first-team All-Pro safety. And so he's got some credibility. Mm-hmm. He led the league in interceptions 1 year. And so
he went against a lot of good quarterbacks in the league and saw what they were able to do and how he battled them each week.
So this kid's a sophomore, and he was the overall number one recruit?
I do believe so. Yeah. LSU and Michigan, right? And he committed to LSU early on, and then they just came in and paid him.
That's right. Wins a starting job as a true freshman. So I want to be fair. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have a lot of weapons around him. Like, he really didn't. And there was a lot of cloud with the Sharon Moore stuff, and he had an up and down season. But Whittingham feels like he's a mega talent, and that he certainly is a very unfinished product. Now, Weddle's assessment is this kid has no future at the position. Like, he was a true freshman. Like,
let's give him some time to see what this year looks like. It was like he can't throw or play quarterback from watching a spring practice of his.
So they were 9-4, and let's check out. I really honestly, that's why I say they're a little bit of forgotten that I haven't really identified. I think that if they're going to make the playoff, they're probably going to have to start the season like 9-0. Like, I don't, because they play at Oregon and at Ohio State in two of their last three. Mm. So I guess I would ask it this way: do you think Michigan can make the playoff with three losses? If they can't, then they're going to have to go 9-0. Mm-hmm.
I don't think a three-loss Michigan team gets in. Especially, I don't know what their schedule looks like up front.
Must not
be too bad.
They're all, anything tough is at home. Okay. So they have a real advantage there. Oklahoma, home. They've got Iowa at home, Penn State at home, Indiana at home.
They're not going to be 9-0 before they get...
That's what I'm saying. So if we can go on the hypothetical that they're going to lose at Oregon and at Ohio State, mm-hmm. then there's two losses, just we can mark them down now. So they're going
to
be
now,
waiting.
Now, granted, with that, if they do run that table and they lose close games to Oregon and Ohio State at the end of the year, but they run that...
Oh, yeah.
They'll be in, 1,000%. Yeah. But, yes, if they lose one of those... badly, or just one of those at all, and you got three. But I mean, I see four losses in that schedule. I mean, am I crazy? I think Bryce Underwood threw 63 yards against us last year. Now, new offensive staff, new staff in general, you know, brought a lot of guys in from Utah. How's that look? And, you know, how are they going to use him, you know, as a quarterback? Did Sharon and them maybe not put him in the best spots last year as a freshman, or not use him as maybe they should have? Try to keep too much off of him, and then just you got to unleash somebody like that, maybe.
I think what they can hope for is not a playoff season, but a season where they surprise somebody, mm-hmm. where they pull an upset, where they give hope, where they like, this, there's a future there. Yeah. I agree with you. This is a four-loss team. Yeah. I really don't see it any other way. Maybe more.
Maybe five.
Maybe five.
Yeah. I mean, they could lose Oklahoma, Indiana, us, Oregon, and Penn State.
And they could lose to Iowa. It's one of those seasons that I think I wouldn't look at the record. I look at, can they beat somebody they're not supposed to beat?
And do they take care of the teams that they are supposed to beat, right? I mean, do you go out there and really be dominant against those teams that you should handle?
And it's really about the quarterback, because Whittingham brought in his own OC, and that guy remade Utah's offense last year. And if they can help this kid after he was completely overwhelmed his freshman year.
How much leash does he have, you think? I mean, you're paying him that kind of money, right? Well,
according to Weddle, there's not much. Do you guys know who Braden Fowler Nicolosi is?
You're thinking of the new coaching staff coming in, like, we got to win. It's our first year.
I wasn't watching a lot of Colorado State last year.
I was wondering how I knew that name.
Tommy Carr.
Yep. Is he a true freshman?
Three-star true freshman.
Is that who he's talking about? Is that who Weddle's referring to when he says, I think the backup?
I think.
Or is he talking about the other kid from Colorado State?
I don't know. Colorado State kids played.
Maybe it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
well, he's a redshirt senior.
Oh, okay.
The so kid is backing him up. Yeah. But.
Well, game manager maybe gives you a better opportunity.
It's a high priced starter that.
That's why you can't miss on these guys when you pay them that kind of money.
Almost this season is really not about if he doesn't look good that he'd be benched. I don't. I think this is about developing him. I think it's about investing in him. You've already invested in him. Let him take his lumps again. This is the second year. He's got a new coach, a new OC.
Yeah, first year for all that. Hey, let's figure this out throughout the year. And, you know, no matter how this goes, you're our guy, and we're going to try and pull you through this thing and really get ready for your junior year, your last year, to really make a jump.
And they got a chance to build his confidence because of these games at home. Mm-hmm. And if they I don't know where Indiana's going to be by, you know, week 7 or 8. Who knows? Maybe Indiana's a little overhyped this year. I don't know with Hoover. But if he pulls off an upset, he's got Penn State and Indiana back-to-back at home. If he wins one of those, although the Penn State one probably wouldn't be...
It's not going to be that huge
launch
of
them. But if they can avoid disaster early and get him a little confidence, then to me, Michigan season is about playing spoiler in one of those last three games, or two of the last three, Oregon or Ohio State. And then they feel like they may have something. But I don't know what the odds are, but I would not bet Michigan is going to be in playoff.
In contention.
Let's check Kausche.
And they're going to be. Yeah. By the way, and here's the thing. I mean, Michigan's going to be a top 25 team, I bet, preseason. Probably, from a talent standpoint, they probably will be.
And the new coaching staff they brought in. I mean, when they were looking for a head coach last year, I mean, they're like, who are they going to go get? And then all of a sudden, he falls right in their lap. And I think he's a good coach.
They rescued it.
Yeah, I mean,
squeaky clean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like everything good about him is just like, how this late in the game do you find somebody like that? I mean, they lucked out there. So, you know, it's first year. Yeah, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be there for, though. I mean, he signed maybe, a 3-year contract?
Let's see.
You know, how much pressure is he feeling? Like, I got to go out and win right now? Or is this just a, hey, we're here this year? Like you mentioned, you know, let's just get this thing
going. 5-year deal.
Get it right back on tracks. 5-year deal.
Okay. No. He's got plenty of leash. They're just trying to take the eye off all this crap they're going through.
Yeah, give us some good pub.
Find a way to beat a team.
Yeah.
Like that's like yeah, I don't
figure
I don't,
out how to use our big price quarterback. I mean, that would be just a win at the end of the season if they're like, hey, he started turning the corner a little bit. We're feeling pretty good about him taking snaps for us.
I mean, I really don't see them beating Oklahoma. I don't. TLC, can you confirm that? That game is in Ann Arbor. Oklahoma, Michigan.
Yeah, because it was in Oklahoma last year.
And
yeah.
I think it was probably going to be a night game, right?
So, I mean, that's...
It might be Big Noon.
I mean...
Is that? I thought there was something about... Or no, I'm thinking Notre Dame, Miami.
That there's defense against him will be huge to decide whether he's got any future because they'll play him week 2. But if he flops, it's not like they're going to bench him. He is the option, I think, to try to... Yeah. So they're going to have to... Their expectations this year are, from what I would say, is forget about the playoff. This is their goal should be, their realistic goal is, can we pull an upset or two? Can we hang with Ohio State?
As the year goes?
Does the quarterback have a future? And do they feel like they don't have to just do an about face on
him? Not getting blown out during games. They're playing tough, being in the rivalry games or being in those big games and not getting blown out. I think that's a win for them, unfortunately. Yeah,
they won't be favored against Oklahoma, and I'm going on hypotheticals, no injuries and all that. I think they'll be a home dog to Oklahoma. I think they'll be a home dog to Indiana. Yeah,
I would.
I think they'll be favored against Penn State, and I think they'll be favored against Iowa. Not much, but I think that would be some small favorites in those games where they show up and they're at home and they probably should be the favorite. Other than that, this season is about seeing if Bryce Underwood, as Eric Weddle says, can throw a football.
Or be a quarterback.
Or be a quarterback.
Play quarterback.
All right, we'll stick with football. And he was turning himself into a star, and now he's inviting criticism. We'll tell you who that is next. Roth.
The Reds are on the Fans' family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds. The Fan. The Fan 2 and the Fan 3.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got two
words for you. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, I'm starting to really like this guy. Still do. And there's some authenticity to it. It's not... he's not a real household name yet. I think he was heading that way. And he was a guy that was being looked at as maybe a Jaylen Warren type in the NFL, that kind of a running back, kind of like... one of those, as they refer to, like, as a carnage creator, like a guy that kind of a Peyton Hillis, kind of just give him the ball and everybody move out of the way, because he was pretty, he's got a pretty compact frame. He's, let's see, yeah, 5'9 and a half, 220. So he's built like a fire hydrant. And, but he had really good balance and really good contact balance. And he could break through and get to the second level. And I really liked him. And his name is Cam Scadabo. And Arizona State. And we kind of fell in love with him as we're watching him late in college. And I was like, who is this guy? Because he was punishing people. Mm-hmm. And he had great durability. And even though he didn't have the acceleration that you want, he just was a really tough dude, straight line guy. Anyway, he got injured and it was really sad. It was because he was really having a great year. A lot of people were very sad in fantasy when they lost him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's back now. But to calm everybody's fears over the injury and whether he'd be back, I'm going to get his exact injury. It was a broken ankle. I don't know what else was involved.
Tibia fracture or something.
Oh,
like
okay. So he's been, you know, pretty transparent with his injury and the recovery and the rehab. But I would not advise this as showcasing on how healthy your ankle is. Like, so he was at Fanatics Fest this past weekend, and he also, you remember, he took the stage at the WWE at the convention, and he was showing off this surgically repaired ankle, and he, I guess at the WWE, he executed every little backflip he did. And at the Fanatics Fest, I mean, it's really, this is, when I saw this, I was like, everyone's going to lose their mind, and rightfully so. And he gets to the mic, and he says, I'm going to address the elephant. I will not hurt myself before the season. Before continuing to explain what went wrong on this backflip, and then he falls to the ground.
We can hear it.
Please.
I'm going to address the elephant. I will not hurt myself. Hmm. Before the season. Something new to the
A round of applause.
Yeah. At least he's going to wait till the season to hurt himself.
I was like, that's the most explosive I've seen Scott. He overrotated.
That's Jackson Dart.
He did. He said the floor was a little bouncy. Yeah, so what happened was, I don't know if you guys know WWE or not. Those floors are bouncy. So when I took off, I was midair like, holy cow, I'm not going to land this. I'm way too high. Landed, but it had too much cushion. It wasn't a stiff, firm ground. So it's fine. I kind of like went back, safely landed, got back up, was good to go. So nothing came out from that. I'm perfectly fine. Nothing happened. We're good.
Good.
And then he had a follow-up comment, because apparently he's on the stage at Fanatics Fest, and they're, I don't know if this is like an interview or a press conference or what.
Do you enjoy being like the wild maniac moniker? Is that insulting, or is that like, yeah?
No, I totally enjoy that part. I think I less enjoy the brain dead kind of guy. But it is what it is. I mean, the New York people love it, so I'm just going to keep being me. And if they want to say I'm brain dead and I don't have no brain, then who cares?
So, I don't have no brain.
I'm all right. Brain dead, but he is a meathead. That's for sure. I love that guy.
I think people can understand when an athlete gets injured training or in a game or in a practice. Mm-hmm. That's where the risk is taken. The risk should not be taken like this. No. That's all I'll say. It doesn't, because the people that argue, oh, he could get injured just walking down the street or He could fall down his stairs.
Drive into work. He could be in an accident.
He can, but he's not trying. Like, and this is to prove your point that you can backflip and land. I guess if a doctor said, hey, this is the equivalent of anything he could do in practice, then I'll step back from this. It's whatever. He didn't get hurt. He popped up. But,
well,
but
you're popping up no matter what there you are. You're not laying down on that floor.
Okay.
He could have tore his ACL right. again, but he's popping right back up. He's going to act like nothing happened. Right. And that's what I thought. I thought he had a knee. So when I saw that fall, okay. I'm like, man, those knees are in kind of weird spots. That can't feel great. But the ankle, you know, maybe he's fine. He's been doing it since he was four, he said. Been doing backflips. I've never done a backflip. I don't know about you. I think I'd rather the ground be a little soft and bouncy instead of hard and stiff like he wanted it. It's
not needed. It's not needed.
And his agent called him right after that. And was like, no more. No more back. He had to if he has a good agent.
So most of these guys are like, I'm going to be me and all that, and I'll invite the criticism. And if you don't, you heard the end of that. If you don't like it, you can, you know, this is what you can do. My thing, though, is you're not a sprinter. You're not a shot putter. You're part of a team. And so you have to start thinking of what's best for the team, not what's best for you. And what's best for you is backflipping in front of a crowd so you can get some applause and be you. Then I think certain things have to be put aside, especially coming off a fairly serious injury. And that's where that's fine. And the team, the Giants that employ him, that's up to them. They could talk about it with him and hope to calm it down because we need you on the field. And they could totally like glaze the whole situation and just say, we value you so much that we would just prefer that you wouldn't do this, because save your injuries for practice. Because that's part of it. Everybody knows that. You can get injured practicing. Don't invite fate. Don't tempt fate. Why would you do that? Just for a cheap applause? And that's like, so if you were his coach or his assist or his position coach or his agent, I think you'd say, answer this one question. Do you think doing that is best for the team?
Yeah.
And if it's not, then maybe you should just table it for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure Harbaugh probably had a phone call with him, right? Because he's the new head coach there. Hey, we're not doing that anymore. Let's just leave that out there. I know you're feeling great and you want to show it off. That's your personality. Fans love it. But they're going to love it a lot more when you're scoring touchdowns come fall, instead of having to hold their breath thinking you might have re-injured yourself at a Fanatics event doing a backflip.
Oh, and that's what it is. Because I think the argument, as I said earlier, is for somebody to say that he could get injured just as easily, you know, somewhere else. Okay, but that would be considered an accident. This is something that you brought risk into. Like, anybody can have an accident. And, like, if he re-injured his ankle stepping off a curb, okay, he's human, it happens. But not this.
You went out of your way to do this.
And
that's why you got hurt.
Unless that's the way the rehab has been written. We're only going to decide that you're good to go and cleared if you can do a backflip and stick the landing. He didn't stick the landing.
No. It's a part of his physical.
That's what I mean.
There you go, yeah.
But you're right. If he's been doing it and it's second nature to him to do it, and like he said, he probably would have stuck the landing if that particular floor wasn't like a mini trampoline. But
if you've been doing it since you were four, you got to know what floor you're on. All right. Hey, I'm on a little bounce. I got a little bounce here. I don't need to go as hard on this one.
Like all the headlines, calms fans' fears over flipping out failure, horrifies Giants fans by attempting a backflip despite coming off a leg injury. Scatabo perfectly fine after botched backflip. Like, all right.
Coaches are reading those headlines and be like, we don't want these headlines. Like, be yourself. That's fine. But we don't need this, you know, going into the season.
To stay with the theme of the day, TLC, Cam Scatabo injury concern. Kalshi rushing prediction market suggests no issue. So the doctors of Kalshi have spoken.
It's over, yes. No worries.
Now, a mid-season injury could change that.
That's right.
So if you want to play the under,
we'll go over that when we come back, top of the hour, and also we'll get into the Buckeye ifs this year. Roth Dublin.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Blue Jackets games will be televised by NHL Productions starting this season. Columbus, Minnesota, and St. Louis are the first three to join the league's centralized production services. For CBJ, the Jackets and goaltender Jack Greaves are $4.7 million apart in their arbitration filing, GM Don Waddell confirmed to The Athletic. The team seeks $2.8 million, while Greaves aims for $7.5 million. Barring a late agreement, an arbitration hearing will be held Thursday in Toronto. Baseball today, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40, while the Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40, with fan coverage starting at 9:10. NFL, per ESPN, the league's reigning tackles leader Jordan Brooks agreed to a three-year extension with the Dolphins. This update sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole. Ooh. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Justin Zwick in the house. You heard in the update with Tyler about the news where the Blue Jackets and the NHL are announcing that the NHL Productions will begin producing their telecast this year. So there's a lot of moving parts with this. So what I can tell you, what I feel, is that the distribution, which is the key here for the fan, this isn't about who technically produces. The fan is probably not, the Blue Jacket fan is not thinking to themselves today, I wonder who the where the trucks are going to, who's providing the trucks or the cameras or, you know.
I mean, the play-by-play guy would be theirs too then, I guess, right? That's part of their production?
No,
or
not necessarily.
You still have your team
Not necessarily.
Guys?
I think the talent decisions will lie with the team.
Okay.
Could it be a little bit in conjunction with the league? Maybe. But that's they want these to be localized productions. So that I wouldn't, and I'm not here to guarantee anything, but I'm just telling you that I think the CBJ will drive the content.
Okay.
I think where this is good is that the NHL, their production team, will be able to also provide a lot of content.
How long have they been doing that? Is this a newish type deal?
Well, no, I mean, the Jackets have been, there have been so many different regional iterations of this, whether it's Fox Sports Net and Fox Sports Ohio and Bally's and FanDuel. And so, but with the NHL, with the content produced by the league and then the, in conjunction with the NHL Network, they're probably have a little chance to be more of that. But the people that watch the Blue Jackets, they want it to be focused on their team. And
they want to be able to find it.
And they want to be able to find it, and that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
And so my guess is, and it is probably a guess, it's a little educated, but it's mostly a guess, is that the league will enhance the content because they have access to so much more with NHL Network, but that the Jackets right now, their job is to find a distribution, an avenue to distribute their games to their fans on television. And what I hear is they have multiple options of that. I don't know where else this would go. They've got a handful of games that go to ESPN Plus, and that's fine. Jacket fans are used to that. But my feeling to Jacket fan today would be that unless there's some big upset, that the CBJ will find a distribution partner and it will be similar to what they've come to like and expect and enjoy. And then have the NHL resources also added to enhance that product.
Yeah, when I saw that, I immediately just thought, oh, it's going to be on the NHL Network now. You know, because I don't know the world of the TV and broadcasting and rights and all that good stuff. I just thought, all right, NHL is taking over this. That's where we're going to find the games. But it makes more sense. Yeah. You know, keep it locally or if they can find that, that team here so everybody knows where they're at and how to find them.
So their production management will take over. And the other part about the innovations that I wouldn't know about yet would be the next level graphics and what else the NHL Network and the NHL productions team can provide that would be better than what they're used to on FanDuel or Bally's or whatever. And maybe there will be a different technical leveling up of the broadcast. So that's the update today. But what I can't tell you is where in the world you're going to be watching it. That I don't know.
It'll be somewhere.
Probably the key to the whole equation.
Well, and it's got to figure it out soon because I think I heard
September 21st is the, you know, I mean.
We're coming.
Yeah. It's going to be here real soon.
Preseason and all that.
Uh-huh.
It's on the way. And
we'll be singing Christmas carols before we know it.
September 21st, home against Detroit. Mm. All right. So we saw this on ESPN. TLC picked this up about the if factor for a lot of teams in college football and what needs to go right for everybody to have a shot. And they did a few ifs for Ohio State, and I'll read them to you. And I think Ohio State's current odds right now to win the title, why don't you bring those up too? Do you know, are they...
According to, well, do we want Kalshi or do we want this one?
Because Kalshi's kind of been our
team today.
Kind of
the thing right now, yeah.
You know what? Let's
buying shares of
buying things. Shares of...
Boy,
sure.
So Bobby was in yesterday, real fast, while he's looking this up. And I looked at him and I said, you know, he's always made fun of me for certain things, and some of them
have been, to do that.
Yeah, some of them are some stock picks. He kids because he cares. And we've always had this fun thing that, like, back in the day, like, I bought some shares of, like, Sun TV, like, of all places. And who knew that Circuit City was going to come in and knock me off the block? And so... And
apparently everybody knocked Circuit City
off
the block.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Came right back to them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they got what they did.
Exactly.
And karma. Right. And so... I said, you know, whenever I'm on Sawmill, you know, and I could see like that, there was, I don't know what store is in there now, but there was always this faint logo of Sun TV that was haunting me forever. Like
is
it never,
where REI
never,
is now?
Yeah, it was never really gone.
Place
it was whatever building was yeah. there. And, but I said to him yesterday, I go, you know, when Chipotle first started, you know, they offered the IPO and you couldn't get it right then, but I think it jumped to like, I think it was like $23 a share, and then it went to the 40s and then it's split, I don't know how many times since then. It's now it's come back to earth. And we both figured out yesterday that if you would have bought $1,000 worth of Chipotle when it first opened in 06 or 07 mm-hmm. or whatever that was, it'd be worth about 50 grand right now. Something to that. Like maybe about 40 to 50 times your money. Yeah. But who knew? I mean, we still had grinders then. It was still, we were still a That's sandwich right. eating society. We weren't into the bowls
yeah,
and
big
all.
Burrito
and
thing,
actually, they didn't even have
head.
Bowls when they first started. It was just the.
Just the burrito?
Just the burrito. And then they went to bowls.
It was a simpler time that was.
Yeah, it really was, right? Guac was free.
No waiting in line. Just right. Give me the burrito. Just fill That's it up. Right. Let's go.
And then, so I looked at him and we were having this conversation during a break. And I said, well, you want me to tell you the other one that I'm really upset about? He goes, yeah, go ahead. And I go, when COVID happened, everyone was kind of looking for, okay, what's going to rebound? What's going to be horrible mm-hmm. now that'll rebound later? And the irony is they've had a lot of problems since then because they'll have some breakouts. But I said probably the cruise ship industry, which was came to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and said, you know, I wasn't, you know, I always viewed like there are different tiers of cruising, just like there are in stores and all that. And it was like you'd probably feel like Carnival was like more of like the Walmart and Royal was like more of the Target. And then you kind of keep going up the ladder. And so I remember that Royal Caribbean was somewhere in the vicinity in COVID because we went back to work in May of 21. So it didn't really bottom out completely, Jay-Z, until 22.
Okay.
Like it just bottomed. And so Royal Caribbean was at $35 a share in the summer of 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's now at $288 a share. So it's gone up over 200% in the last 5 years. And so my little tip to everybody is that if we ever go through a problem again, find something that you believe might rebound, wait about 4 years, and then thank me later. I can't even thank myself because I never did it.
Oh,
and
one of those.
It's one of those. No, the ones I buy, they go into the tank.
That's everybody, the only way it can go,
yes,
right?
Everybody else is doing just fine. As far as Carnival, that really hasn't done much of anything. So I was right to go to Royal, but yes. I never really did it.
Mm.
Carnival bottomed out at, actually, that's not doing too bad. I lied a little bit. It bottomed out in 22 at about $7 a share. It's now trading at 27. So actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Not like that, though.
No, not.
Not like Royal Caribbean.
Not Royal Caribbean, no.
Yeah. And I'd also, the other one I'd like to look up eventually today is Disney. I think Disney would be, like, I remember when Disney, you know, listen, the parks were closed.
Yeah, nobody was allowed, right?
Nobody was able to go. And as long as we're on the topic,
and here they got cruise ships and everything, too, so that they may have taken a
Yeah, that bit. Never really, that bottomed out. So in the summer of 22 is when it kind of hit somewhere in the 80s, and it never really went back crazy or whatever it was. Because it was before COVID.
Well, they also went through some other things that coming out of COVID.
Yeah. The mouse always survives.
Well, the mouse will, yes.
And now they got ESPN back. Dragging them down, so, you know, they had to lay off some people at the park.
Yeah, sad day.
That'll be a story for later on in the show.
According to Kelsey, Ohio State's got a 12% chance to win it all. Tied with Texas, 1% behind Notre Dame at 13.
All right, but those aren't actual odds, obviously. So what we'll do when we come back is we'll deliver the odds. If you're going to bet it, but you say 12% chance for Ohio State to win it all. It sounds low.
That seemed low, I was going
to
say.
It sounds low to me. But
But if Notre Dame's only 13%, I mean,
There's so many pieces of that pie. Mm-hmm. We'll give you that plus the ifs when we come back. Rothman.
Buckeye Replay this summer takes you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Ohio State football history.
We go 85 yards through the heart of the South, Ohio State versus Alabama in the Sugar Bowl.
Hear Buckeye Replay this Saturday at 1 p.m. on The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s, pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. Then for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Jay-Z's going to go to the fair tonight and
get poured on,
get involved in 4-H. They're going to line up a few bottles of milk. And he'll have to
milk a couple cows tonight.
He'll have to taste it and then determine what the defect is. This one tastes like the cow got into an onion patch.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's correct.
Yummy.
Yeah. That's correct. You got that one right.
Yeah.
All right. So Ohio State is a betting favorite, correct? To win it all? I have them at 6-1.
The ESPN article does highlight them at 6-1.
Yeah. Next is Notre Dame. Then, believe it or not, Indiana, and then Texas at 7.5-1. Then Oregon at 8, Georgia at 8.5, Miami at 12, LSU at 18, and then I guess you could keep going. Texas Tech at 20, Bama's at 22, Ole Miss is at 25. Okay, so the Texas-Ohio State game, the winner of that vaults right to... I mean, Ohio State would either stay there and their odds would go down, or Texas, their odds would crash too if they beat Ohio State at home. So they'd be, I think they'd become the instant favorite if they beat Ohio State. So, I mean, there's decent value there on Ohio State at 6-1. You just try to ask yourself, how much worse would it really get? Like, if they beat Texas, what do those odds go to? Like 4.5? Like
the remaining schedule?
Like,
maybe
Yeah, because they have a very tough schedule.
I mean, you know, I mean, like, without going too crazy there early, but that's what everybody loves to do, you know, overreact after one weekend of football.
Such a weird game last year, you know, 14-7. Mm-hmm. It was ugly. It was, you know, it was the arch hype game.
You know, it was two young quarterbacks, you know, taking their first snaps, you know, in a big time game, and, you know, it didn't feel like either coaching staff wanted to really throw them, you know, not under the bus, but, you know, like, put too much on them in the big game. And this year will be a little bit different. Both those guys coming back feeling pretty good about themselves, and there's a game beforehand to, you know, kind of work those kinks out coming out of camp.
The ramp-up game against Ball State, as Maddie puts it. The Ohio State ifs, according to ESPN, if the portal delivered a pass defense. So we know that Matt Patricia came in and had the best defense in the country last season. They've lost, you know, well, they had, I mean, they've lost four top 40 NFL draft picks, 7 picks in all. Four of his top five linemen, six of the top nine defensive backs are gone. They added a couple transfer ends, a couple tackles, corners, safeties, and look at the quarterbacks they're going to be facing. Arch, Dante Moore, Hoover, perhaps, what he's going to be. So that is one of their ifs.
I mean, that's an if. I think defensive line's a bigger if. You know, if we can hit on a James Smith or Quay Rousseau, I mean, if those guys can be players for us that we have to replace, but we need a plug in the middle. I'm big about the offensive, offensive line, defensive line, line of scrimmage. You got to win it. I mean, you can have all the cornerbacks you want in the backfield, but if the quarterback has all the time in the world, his receivers are going to get open on you, right? So I think having that stout, replacing that stout front seven on the defense is the bigger if.
Having Kenyatta come back is big.
But we need him to take a huge jump, I feel like.
I think you're right. It's the opposite of him.
Yeah,
it's
this is his year. Last year, Caden Curry was kind of the guy that was just high energy, got after it a bunch, made a bunch of plays. Somebody's got to take that step, and Kenyatta's the guy with the target on his back, in my opinion.
Zion Grady, I think, is a name that could become a household name here in Columbus because he's kind of gotten past Bo Atkinson a little bit. As far as depth chart goes, but
everything you've heard about Bo is he had a great offseason. Mm-hmm. He's been working on his flexibility, and we're going to need that, right? We're going to need to rotate probably six, seven guys through there. So you're going to need extra, but we're going to need our starters, which I'm looking at James Smith. We're going to need him to plug the middle
inside. Yeah,
inside. We need to take Edric some Houston. Of that off. Yeah, Edric Houston. Exactly. We expect a big year out of him. Losing Cade McDonald off last year. I mean, he was a monster in there for us. And so that's a big, big replacement.
So getting after the quarterback is going to be big and being able to allow these new linebackers to kind of feast a little bit and take some heat off of them. If Jeremiah Smith has battery mates, do they have enough? And what I think he's getting at here is with Carnell Tate gone, will there be enough to offset if teams just decide we're going to double Jeremiah the best we can and make somebody else beat us? Because to me, this if rings a little more true, depending on what Chris Henry turns into. Brandon Innes, of course, but I like this one as an if. It usually wouldn't be an if based on the fact that you have the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith. And when you have the most talented guy... But the next two targets, the big ones are gone.
Yeah.
And so between Innes and some transfer guys and Chris Henry, and this is going to be a very interesting piece for San as far as if teams try to take away Jeremiah.
Yeah, it is. But I think coaches understood that. And I think they did a nice job in the portal. McEwen's a fast guy who can do a lot of different things. I mean, I think we needed somebody who could, have that speed, take the top off, but also be able to get the ball, behind the line of scrimmage and turn it again into something like a Paris Campbell or, somebody like that with just the speed that they had. So I think Kyle Parker's somebody who I've heard some good things about. I mean, Brock Boyd's another young receiver. I mean, you got three freshmen who I think could really, by the end of the year, be somebody that we could rely on. And, in talking to some people, it seems as if even the players might be looking at those guys saying, oh, yeah, I can see them being something for this offense because they're just so good. So you do have to find that. Brandon Innes I love him. I think he could have an expanded role this year if they were able to figure out what that offense is going to look like, if we're going to switch up, and get back to some of the mesh routes and concepts that maybe Ryan had when he was the offensive coordinator or going into his first year as a head coach. And I think we have the right tools there to – we're going to bounce those guys around, but I think we have a good combination of guys that we can put out there, and I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
That's the cool part of it is that people don't know these guys. Yep. We know Chris Henry Jr. from the spring game. Like that, obviously.
He looked awesome. It was fun.
He looked incredible.
Exactly.
He's as gifted as anybody.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard he's put on some weight. They're hoping to have him around 210, 215 going into the season. So for that big body of his, it's only going to help him. You got him. He has all the fanfare, no doubt about it. If he can come out and just be... a red zone guy early on as he gets into his first college season, I think that could be huge.
They also had the other if is if new OC Arthur Smith can pick up the pace. So Ohio State played at the second slowest tempo last season, if you were counting. It was like 31 and a half seconds a play. And they averaged the third fewest drives per game. A lot of that might have been they were scoring pretty fast. in some of those games. It kept things calm and organized for Sane, he writes, but when things turned urgent and their loss to Miami, the pace never picked up and the Buckeyes never produced the urgency necessary to deliver a comeback. Regular season games against Oregon, Indiana, Texas, hopefully a playoff run in its future. Ohio State should see a few more close and late situations this season. He's right about that. Mm-hmm. And if all Arthur does is improve the tempo, and that'd be a net win. Do you buy into that?
I don't buy into it. I mean, we talk about urgent, you know, in the middle of that third quarter, towards the end of the third quarter against Miami, it's a three-point ball game. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we got back into the game by doing what we do. And, you know, maybe there's going to be a little bit more tempo this year. You know, last year you talked about it, where it's going to be a long season. We want to keep plays off these guys. We want to be fresh going into the playoffs. And then you get beat by a team in Miami who did it the total opposite way. They played their guys as much as they could play them, and they got worn down throughout the game, but, you know, they found ways to win. So I don't think you need to just go be fast, fast, fast. I think you can do a little bit of both, and I think we have that. Now, you get that talking point a lot because Ryan kind of talked about it last year. Like, well, when we want to press the gas, we're going to, you know, we're going to need to do so. And then it just seemed like, well, maybe we didn't see what we all thought that meant, and now you got to play with urgency. It goes back to the whole Julian saying, oh, we need a quarterback that can run the ball now, just because, you know, the end of the year went the way it went. And it's just, everybody needs to relax a little bit. I think we're going to be fine. Maybe we won't play that slow because we do have a quarterback who's been through it. He's been in New York. Mm-hmm. We trust him a little bit more going into this season, holding more on his, putting more on his shoulders. So maybe you do pick it up a little bit more. But in the end, they're looking and thinking they're going to be a playoff team. And that's 16 games. I mean, something along those lines. That's a long season, you know, so I don't expect us to come out and just be at the line of scrimmage. Let's pick up the tempo and go, 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 go. Especially when you got a new defense. You don't want to keep them on the field if you go three and out. I mean, a lot goes into how they want to play it. And I just don't buy into the, you know, urgency. They weren't able to get it done. Yeah, we were right there in the second half of that ballgame. We just weren't able to finish it.
Somebody lined up on a punt wrong. And it changed the whole game. Changed the whole momentum. Honestly, that changed the whole momentum.
It's just like, all right, well, what's going on? You know, like, it just wasn't our night. But it could have been.
And it could have been. And they lost some very close games. Those are the big what-ifs, is if they can perform in the moment.
Yep.
I think the trenches is big. The one if that's not on the list, which is great to not see it, is about the offensive line. Because that was a big problem last year at the end. Yep. Like, they were just patching it up to the point where when they face two very strong defensive teams up front, Indiana and Miami, and like you said, they didn't sound like they got blown away. There were a couple plays here or there.
I mean, it looked bad in certain spots, but, you know, it's like, when we're returning four of those guys, like, how are we not? I think this offensive line room has a real good chance to be a top three offensive line room in the country. I mean, you think about the guys we're bringing back. If we're able to shore up that right guard spot and keep the left tackle play where it's been, I really think these guys could be some maulers this year, and that changes the way you want to call play. If Arthur Smith thinks he has an offensive line that's just going to get after, it's going to be good, because then you're going to have play action down the field, and we're going to have the big plays. People are going to be happy about that, and we're just going to lean on people.
Tempo is situational.
Yep.
It really is. It's when you overmatch a team, tempo can certainly be something that affects a team that doesn't have the depth that you have. You can tire them out. Like you said, you can lean on them. Yep. And then the other thing you don't want to do, though, is you don't want to go too fast where you don't have to. It's
you wear your guys out.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't go well.
It's situational. That's why I agree with you. I'm not buying into that completely being an if. Yeah. We'll get Tyvus Powell's opinion on that when he joins us in 2 minutes. Rothman.
D.I.C.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's Tuesday, and Tyvus is here.
You have to recognize that one of his greatest strengths is his voice, which makes him sound sexy and smart and sexy and sexy.
It's Tuesdays with Tyvus. We'll talk about the Buckeyes, the Browns, and Tyvus's weight loss plans that he'll never follow up on.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free sale. Visit windownation.com now.
First of all, I love seeing him every day, but he was yelling this morning in the closet that he calls a studio, and I was like, what is going on in there? He was on the air. What in the world were you yelling about so loud this morning?
First of all, we're supposed to have soundproof doors. So, therefore, I don't know how you heard me. We need to get that checked, though, if you heard me yelling.
They're not tested for that level. Okay. They didn't sense that a guy like you was going to...
Well, you know, Tito used to tell me that he could always hear me, like, when I'm outside playing Papa Shot and I'm laughing. He said when the Morning Juice was in that studio before they moved to Studio B, he said he could always hear me. And I thought he was just jerking my chain. But now you say that you heard. So maybe I am louder than the thing. Maybe I am that loud.
What was the argument?
So the argument was this. I went on there. You know, it's Hot Take Tuesday. So on the Cleveland show, the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, I always come in and I give a hot take. Well, today my hot take was the Cleveland Cavaliers would be better off without LeBron James. And they was like, that is the most ludicrous thing that I've ever heard. And I said, well, hear me out. Said that the problem is we are in a spot where the Cavaliers, they're in a conundrum, technically, because they finally have become a pretty successful organization without LeBron. Usually with LeBron is the only time that we got as far as we did. That every year they've gotten further in the playoffs, right? And now you're at the point where LeBron's going to come back. I'm not saying that he's necessarily going to put you over the hump, but obviously he's going to make you closer to winning the championship. It's not guaranteed, but obviously it gives you a better chance to get into the championship and potentially win the championship. But he only's going to be there maybe 2, maybe 3 years. So once he's gone, then you're going to put yourself back into the position, especially if you didn't win a championship. I say, rip the Band-Aid off now. Let's just go ahead and keep doing it without LeBron and just figure out, because y'all right there. And then there's no secret that once LeBron leaves, teams get gutted because of LeBron. The rosters flip because of LeBron. So I'm just saying, if you finally put it together to where you made yourself an Eastern Conference final team and you're on the doorstep of finally moving on fully from a LeBron James, you don't necessarily need to open that door. Now, don't get me wrong. If he decides to come back to Cleveland, that's totally fine. But I'm just saying, I don't think you necessarily need him because you're close without him.
I don't think it's that bit hot of a take, honestly. I'm surprised that they went crazy on you. It's not like, I wouldn't call it a weird... Yeah, I wouldn't call it a weird fit, but it's not like the perfect fit, right? I mean, Harden, Mitchell, and Allen, they're not good on the perimeter defending. Mobley can do it, but I mean, LeBron would have to be used as like some primary defender against really good wing players, and I agree. Harden doesn't like being off ball, so that's weird that they thought your take was crazy.
I agree
with you on the changing up the roster and everything, but he's only got a year or two left. He can't really come in and expect him to get rid of their core players, you know, trying to build something new here, right? It's a little bit different, don't you think, this time around?
I would imagine so, but this is LeBron. LeBron got the keys to the city. If LeBron James, let's say LeBron says, you know what, Cleveland, I want to come back, but the only way that I'm going to come back is if you trade Jared Allen, Max Strus, and Dennis Schroeder for Anthony Davis. Guess what's going to happen? Mm. Jared Allen, Max Strus, and Anthony Davis is gone.
Yeah.
And like he's going to be able to call those shots. So I'm just saying, not saying that those players, obviously Jared Allen has been a key piece, and Max Strus has given you some moments. But I'm just saying, like, those are pieces that you're going to potentially lose if LeBron wants that to happen. And at 41, if he thinks that he knows what it takes to get to the championship and he thinks that those guys are inadequate, those moves are going to get made. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really fit awesomely offensively next to Harden, but trading Allen and moving Mobley to the five makes – they can add a wing defender, and then all of a sudden it becomes a little better of a fit. But you're right. He would dictate it, and they would sell out for it, and it's –
But I mean, wouldn't you be okay with that to get another ship up in the Cleveland area? I
mean, have another shot at it, yeah.
Now, hold on,
come
Jay,
on, baby.
Don't get me wrong now. I'm always.
I know you're looking for that parade.
I'm always welcome in the championship, but I'm saying, let's say that you say that he's going to play 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say in those 2 years, let's say they don't win a championship.
Then we're just right back where we started, Tyvus, because the Cavs aren't going to win.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well,
exactly my point.
Because we at least have a shot for 2 years.
But they're closer than they've been without him.
Yeah, I agree. I know.
Jay-Z, I'm just saying, like, first of all, this is the young man's game, okay? Them young dudes ain't going nowhere, all right? So that's one. And two, like, realistically, LeBron, you put LeBron with the Cavs, is they really going to beat the Thunder or the Spurs in the finals? Is that, do you see that happening? Because I don't.
The Knicks did it. Can we beat the Knicks I guess? Is that? Can we do that?
I guess that's where we are now. Huh? That's the Achilles heel.
You say he's going to duck that smoke, huh? Yeah. He's going to go to Cleveland just to duck some smoke?
Maybe.
Well, we were talking about the Buckeyes and their ifs this year, and the ifs mean, like, if these things happen, it's better that they win the title, or they have a better chance to win the title. What are your X factors for them this year? As far as, because we know they have the talent to win it all, but what really needs to go right for them in your mind?
Winning the turnover battle, getting more takeaways this year, that would be fantastic. You know, they've done an exceptional job on defense, but that is the one area that I feel like they lack. And it's not like they're like the worst in the country. They're like middle of the road. But, you know, takeaways changes games. It's the ultimate equalizer of a game. If you can get takeaways, you can win a lot of battles. And then the other thing that a lot of people don't talk about that's very hidden, only the real football players understand, is special teams. If we can get some return game going and get some returns, that right there also will be two things that I think will take this team to the next level. Obviously, the little things like the run game, not little things, the big things like the run game and being able to score in the red zone, those are the two areas on offense. But takeaways and special teams is something that it doesn't get talked about a lot. But if they figure those two things out and become top half of the country in those two areas, now you're talking about a team that's unstoppable.
The first if was if the secondary can hit on a couple of the transfers. I countered that with if our defensive line can hit on a couple of transfers. Which one do you think is more important, having that strong secondary, or you know how important it is to have those big uglies up front getting after the quarterback?
First of all, you know as a former defensive back, my love for the secondary. But there is no doubt, if you've been paying attention to the trend of football, which it's a game of trends, but it's funny because the game always corrects itself. It goes times where other things work, but it ultimately always comes back to the number one thing. The game is won and lost in the trenches. And if they get that defensive line to be nasty in the trenches, there's no stopping them.
Feels like that, doesn't it? That's the one thing that's kind of prevented them. They didn't have now, and I'm not talking about the game wrecker like a Bosa or I'm talking about just being able to really hurry and pressure. They don't all have to end up with sacks.
I mean, think about it. You think about the year before we won a national championship, right? The years before those was, you had JTT and Jack Sawyer. They were close. They got pressures, but they never got sacks. And it was always a knock on them that they didn't get sacks. 2024, when they won it all, when they made that nice CFP run, the sack numbers went up for those guys. The production there was great. You look at last year, the two teams that the Buckeyes lost to was because of the trenches. And it was two different styles of how they lost in the trenches. See, Indiana, their trench play is good, but it's not like a physical thing. They schemed them out. They schemed our offensive line really well, and it caused a ton of confusion. Miami was pure physicality in the trenches, where they physically moved people out the way and got it done. So those was two different ways that a defensive line completely changed the outcome of a game for the other opposing team. So to me, it's always in the trenches.
Another if was Jeremiah Smith having somebody on the other side. If you put your coaching hat on, your secondary guy, how do you take Jeremiah away? And then on the flip side of that, who do you think or who have you heard in that receiver room that might be a guy that can take some of that pressure off of Jeremiah?
The only way you're going to take Jeremiah, you got to pray. You pray to whoever.
Pray and put four guys on him?
Whoever you believe in, you pray to him that he has an off game. That's the way you stop Jeremiah. No, I just think that obviously, you know, the Texas, when we played Texas in that CFP a couple of years ago, they tripled and quadruple teamed him. You know, that's obviously going to be a way to get it done. Having like three or four guys whose eyes is on him. So that, to me, he's going to be a decoy. I don't think we're going to ever see a season again at Ohio State State where he's going to have like he did his freshman year. It's just too much attention. He's the number one guy that has to be stopped on the offense. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that he's going to have that type of production. He's going to be more of a decoy. Not saying that he's not going to be productive, just saying that the numbers aren't going to be like Devontae Smith or something like that where you get 1,800 yards. I just don't think that that's going to happen. The opposite of him, I mean, there's a bunch of guys. I mean, I think Chris Henry Jr. in the spring game showed you why he was one of the top receivers. I'd be shocked if we don't see a lot of him. But I know history serves shows that outside of J.J., a lot of those freshmen don't play right away. So now you're looking at Devin McCune. You're looking at Kyle Parker. Those type of guys on the other side to probably give you something there. I know that Devin is supposed to have this world-class speed. So you got another guy that can stretch the field. Obviously, that's something that you want.
Well done, my man. We got to cut you loose. We appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Go Bucks, go Browns, go Cavs, go Guards, free Class A. We win in the division and take Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Your wish is their command. See you, bud.
See ya.
Tyvus Powell, the baller from Bedford, on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. When we come back, ESPN brings out the axe and how Jay-Z and I both found out our careers had changed. Rothman and Ice and the Fan. Didn't the Seahawks release you?
Buckeye football camp is coming, and our team of fan personalities will be there live. Oh, the sweaty sack fun starts Thursday, August 6th. For tickets, head to Ticketmaster.com, your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Rough day in the media today. Mass layoffs tied to really the NFL network acquisition. I know a lot of people want to put this on Pat McAfee and how much money it costs to keep him and his show going, but it feels like that they're undergoing this round of layoffs, and this is for the first time in 3 years, after taking over the NFL network in April. It's just too coincidental for me, but I'm not involved in this stuff, but it just feels like that. Mm-hmm. And so, because the deal was announced last August, and it also included NFL Fantasy and the rights to distribute Red Zone, that channel, and all that. In return, the NFL got 10% of ESPN. They got a stake in ESPN. I guess it got approved. And so that's why if you've been watching ESPN, you'll see they're using NFL Network employees right now because they all became part of ESPN in April. And so that's why the Kyle Brandts of the world and guys that you've only seen on NFL Network are kind of bouncing around over to ESPN. Part of that is the summer. Guys are on vacation. GetUp is on. They need to fill it. But this is a rough one and some very familiar names. So, but the one that's making headlines is not Carl Ravitch, who's been there since 93. I mean, he's been part of their baseball coverage forever.
He's seen it. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
in the heyday.
Voice of Sunday Night Baseball, mm-hmm. and he's called a lot of games. Tom Pelissero, who had been with the NFL Network since 2017, he's also part of the cuts. You have to understand, also, with cuts come re-ups, which is our guy Schefter got re-upped, and Ian Rappaport got re-upped. Those are their two NFL insiders, and so they're aligning where it's like any business. They're going to spend where they think they need it the most or want to put it the most. This is a philosophy thing. The ESPN cutbacks are, it says, also a part of other reductions that are taking place throughout the Walt Disney Company this week. So the one that made the rounds, Jay-Z, is Ryan Clark. And Ryan Clark, the reason this is such a headline is that he was on the air doing NFL Live. He joined them 10 years ago or more. And apparently he learned of him being laid off while he was on the air.
Mm.
And that a person familiar with the situation said Clark was originally going to be told today or this morning before the reports leaked about the decision. He was told by company execs rather than hear it about it elsewhere. And when they saw that it leaked, so a person spoke to the Associated Press because anonymously because they're not at liberty to discuss personnel decisions. And then it leaks. And then I guess the exec saw that. And then they had to rush to tell him during a commercial break. And he did not finish the show.
So he didn't get fired on his day off. He got fired for during his work hour.
That's, I mean, the idea obviously was to let him finish the show and tell him the next morning.
Afterwards, like, hey, and that was it. We had a meeting set for 4 p.m. and we let you go through the show, and then the leaks happen, and you just can't stop the leaks.
This happens every place I've ever been. Not to this degree, but what happens is when people start making a lot of money, you can be a victim of your own success or whatever, or it can be a philosophical change, mm-hmm. that they're aligning money somewhere else. Yours is interesting because yours is more of an athletic thing, mm-hmm. versus an employment thing, but yours was not anything where you heard it first.
No. Yeah. So it was basically back then we played Texas, mm-hmm. early. I mean, we'd be on campus without students, I think, back then, right? Because we were on, mm-hmm. quarters, so our schedule may have been different, but the coach's press conference was Monday, where they do it at, okay. Jack's Museum. Is that correct? You remember back in those days?
At the Nicholas Museum?
Yeah, at the Nicholas Museum.
I attended many press conferences there.
I think it was
there,
Monday. Yep. And so it must have been Monday, mm-hmm. afternoon. We were over there, and I was sitting down for my interview with the program. You know, all the senior, or, you know,
the
guys.
They bring you over.
Well, no, I didn't get to go to the press conference. No, I'm doing one like after a workout, sitting in the players' lounge.
Oh, okay, because every now and then they would bring
guys. Yeah, they
would
have players come every now and then,
and
yeah.
they'd sit them at tables. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah,
but no, this wasn't that. I was literally doing an interview for, you know, the spotlight in the program, because each, yeah. you know, guy would get one of those. And then the TV was on, news press, press conference, and it was like, and Troy is going to be our starter moving forward. I just sat there and I was like, all right, well, I guess this interview's over. And I got up and walked out.
Seriously.
That's how it went. I was like, oh, all right, well, this is over. And I never made the program because I stopped the interview in the middle of it. And I was like, all right, that's how this went here today. And
this was 05?
That'd have been 05, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. After that Texas game, moving on, and I forget who we played the next week, but it was, so I never got the program interview that my mom always wanted to see when she came to the stadium to see her old little boy on the program. Oh, and that's how I felt. So that week did not go so well after that for me. But, you know, we got a hold of it there after a while, and it is what it is. But I'll never forget sitting there. I just stood up and was like, yeah, this is over.
All right. I'll see you later. Paint this scenario for me again. So I'm trying to hear who's orchestrating this. There's a TV on.
Yeah, so the back in the day, they had a little players' lounge right around the corner from the EQ, and mm-hmm. one of those big screen TVs, you know, the ones in the day. And it was just on the TV, like nothing, and I just knew I had to do SID or whatever. Like, hey, you're going to do an interview with the program or whoever that person was. And so we just sat down after a workout. I want to say it was after practice, but it shouldn't have been on a Tuesday. I would have probably known at that point, mm-hmm. in time, so Monday, it had to have been Monday afternoon, and you know, we're just sitting there talking, doing that, and it was like, here's this from the press conference today.
Why do you think that would have happened?
I don't know. I don't know. I had somebody else tell me I lost by a vote, you know, like I lost
but
by
to
one.
Release it to the media before you were told,
yeah,
seems like a real mismanagement at the time.
I thought so.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, it's the real, like,
so like, oh, this would have been nice to know going into this, you know, interview, or just would have been nice to have the heads up on it. But yeah, that's kind of how that went. And
you know, that's a gut punch.
That was
it's tough enough to get it, but you know you're competing with a guy.
Well, you know what's going on, and we had just lost a huge game, mm-hmm. and you know, I felt like when I got those chances in the second half, I did some really good things, and you know, had a chance to, you know, put us into a position to have the ball game, but you know, but you also knew what Troy had done the year before against Michigan, and how much weight that carries. And, you know, even coming back from my junior year, I was like, this is an uphill battle for me, you know, just trying to get back. And, you know, then that was kind of how it ended on me there. And I was like, well, all right, we got 2 years to go. Here we go. That's going to be a rough one.
You weren't a part of the portal era.
No. Oh, brother. I should have went and graduated early, but back then the seniors, the graduate transfer wasn't really a huge thing.
I mean, let the bidding begin.
Oh, golly. That would change my...
I mean, I'm not saying you're an Ohio boy. People wanted you to stick around, but not at the cost of having to not...
Well, that's why I love like the Joe Burrows of the world. Like, what happens if he doesn't transfer out of here? And Dwayne maybe comes back for a second year and all of a sudden, he's... doing radio with me on 97.1 instead of being a Heisman Trophy winner and the first pick of the draft. It's wild how it goes, but I always root for the guys who transfer, and because there are good players out there, they just don't get the opportunity. And at the quarterback position, typically only one guy plays, and that's how I like it. I don't like two quarterback systems. I don't like any of that. Get your guy and go and just live with it. And, it worked out well for me. Guy goes, wins a Heisman our senior year. So it was they made the right choice. It looked.
Well, Justin, I'm sorry it took 21 years for you to get that interview on the program.
I still never made the program.
We'll come back top of the hour, continue that, and take a deep dive. The SEC, I think they're taking their eye off the prize, but the Super League talk is back. Rothman and I.
Of summer.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Per reports, the Blue Jackets and goaltender Jack Greaves are nearly $5 million apart in their arbitration filings, with the team seeking $2.8 million while Greaves seeks $7.5 million. Barring a late agreement, an arbitration hearing will be held Thursday in Toronto. Also today, CBJ announced its games for the upcoming season will be televised by NHL Productions. Baseball, Guardians host the Twins at 6:40, Guards 53-48, a game back of the White Sox for first in the AL Central. Then tonight, Reds visit the Mariners at 9:40, though they're 45-54. The Redlegs sit just six games out of the NL wild card. MLS, Columbus acquired midfielder Alexandru Matan's first right of refusal for $100,000 in general allocation money, sending him to St. Louis City SC. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa.
Shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and I feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
Back at it, final hour of the program. Keith Smith, NBA front office show at 2:30. We're going to get down and dirty on the LeBron situation, find out exactly what he's thinking and what he is hearing on whether this is really an even fight between Miami and Cleveland and maybe a couple others. We were talking about the ESPN deal today, and it's a pretty big deal because of some of the names that you're used to watching that won't be around anymore, whether it's Ryan Clark or Cam Newton or Carl Ravitch. I haven't seen everybody, but they to find out on the air is cruel, and it's like that has to be the top priority in any industry. Don't let them find out another way. You heard it here first. No one will ever be able to say you didn't hear it from us. And I think that's where the respect comes from. Even if you have to make a tough decision, tough decisions have to be made, whether it's who starts at quarterback or who's working in sports or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So think about that every ESPN employee right now is thinking, well, that sucks to find out on the air. And so my tenure at Channel 6 ended back in years ago, 2010-ish, and I had already been there 16 years, and I was branded to the place, and I understand philosophies change, and they wanted the sports in general, sports coverage changed a lot, Jay-Z, when you had ESPN running 24/7, and to be, I always thought that the real hypocrisy in local television is that you have to be hyper local to succeed, but they don't want to put the money behind being local. Because if you need to come in an entrepreneur story and shoot a story and write a story and edit a story and go out and gather it and all that, that takes human beings to do it. And it's a lot easier to just roll in on a Saturday afternoon and take highlights off a feed and make a sports cast. Like, other people are providing your content. But if you want to be local and compete and find the great feature story, now there's only so many great feature stories, but there's enough in this town that you could do a local sportscast every day. But they also realize that people are interested in knowing about the Cavs and the Reds and the Guards and whatever else you have in the state. But I remember, like, at that time, it was starting to blur a little bit. Like, how much do you really offer? And the other part about Columbus, Ohio back then, I mean, way back in the 90s, it was, you know, everyone was like, oh, we need a pro team to feel good about ourselves. And I was like, wait a minute, you have a franchise.
Yeah, you basically have one right there.
You have 100,000 people watch a football game every Saturday in the fall. That's your franchise.
Yes.
Like, that's your pro team. Mm-hmm. You have a Super Bowl every Sunday in your town, mm-hmm. or every Saturday. And so I understood why, you know, it was cool when it grew and MLS came. And you always had the Memorial and you had, you know, Indy Racing just up the way, yep. at Mid-Ohio. Mm-hmm. And you had AAA baseball here with the Clips. And so you had enough to feel like you had a piece of it. But I do remember at that time feeling like it was blurred. Like, are people really staying up to 11:20 at night on East Coast time to have somebody here in town tell them whether the Reds won? They either know it, seen it, don't care. Like, honestly. And that's what it turned to because of the technology and the smartphones and all that. And so for me, it was, I had a contract that was going to end at the end of the year in 2010. So I thought I was kind of safe until then. Nobody usually gets cut in the middle of a contract unless they're for cause. And so this was right around February of 2010. So I had essentially 11 months.
The rest 10 of the year to go.
Oh, man. Like, you kind of know if you're not going to get renewed maybe in the last 90 days.
Yeah like, you got through all that. You're like, all right.
Have you had some conversations? Yeah, are you good? Not? Are they saying anything? Are you going in and trying to find out? That's a tough balance, mm-hmm. because you don't want to seem desperate by going in, but you want to get the news ahead of time, you know, so you have a chance to maybe get another job if you're not going to be renewed. And so, but the real misconception about local television contracts, and I don't know everybody's, but is that there are very few that are guaranteed. And so if you sign like a 3-year contract locally with Channel 6, Channel 4, Channel 10, there'd be only a rare one that would be guaranteed. Like, if they cut you in year 2, that you'd get paid the rest of the contract. Mm-hmm. Most of the contracts have a yearly loophole, like where they could actually find a 30-day window to bag you for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's still the case, but it was back when I was working over there. And so they exercised that loophole. They explained it as the philosophy was changing and, you know, they were putting more into news and weather, live news and weather and all that. And who knows, maybe they want to rent a helicopter. I don't know. And so I did a sportscast that night at 6 o'clock. And then right after the sportscast at 6 o'clock, our philosophy changed, we were doing a lot of features. I thought we were way ahead of the game. I have nothing but good things to say about where we were and our sports philosophy.
I remember back in those days.
We started doing Beyond the Game, mm-hmm. and we started coming in at 9 in the morning and going to the news meetings and saying, all right, this is what we have for the day. We weren't arriving at 2:30. Mm-hmm. We were in working till 11:30. We were doing the opposite. We were going like 8:30 to 7. And so we would leave something for the late news. Mm-hmm. And then if the Buckeyes were playing basketball or the Blue Jackets, whoever was playing, guess what would happen? The news anchor would read the highlights. They'd cut two goals, and the news anchor would read a generic voiceover of Blue Jackets beat the Red Wings 4-2. Mm-hmm. This person scored, and away you go, and they'd show the highlights. It wouldn't be like a play-by-play of the highlight. And they learned that people wanted to know just what happened. And that's why my point of it changing,
gotcha.
What people were watching the 11 o'clock news for, who was watching? Was it the diehard sports fan? Probably not. Mm-hmm. They were on SportsCenter. They already knew or whatever. And so I had done a sportscast at 6 o'clock, and then I went in front of the weather wall, and I was taping an intro for a story I'd done that day. We kind of revamped it a little bit or just changed the intro a little bit and the tag. And so I'm standing there at 6:40-ish, and I still have my earpiece in, and somebody, I can't remember who, the producer or the director, gets in my ear and said, hey, I'll withhold the names to protect the innocent. The news director wants to see you. Come on upstairs. Or make sure you stop by his office or whatever. And there's a sinking feeling.
Yeah, it's like, that's not very common.
It's not that common that he wouldn't wait till I came up. I think they were trying to make sure I didn't, like, slip out the side, like, after I did this and just go home. Uh-huh. And, like, so maybe it was honorable in that they wanted to tell
me. In the basement down there.
Yeah, I was in the basement of the studio, and I could have just gone out to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so I come up, and there was a stairway, and you have to go right to go back into the newsroom. And so I come up the stairway, and I'm going right to the newsroom, and I see my news director coming this way, and he kind of points like this. We're going that way. Mm. All right. So
conference
now
room.
We're, yes.
Yeah, you don't want a conference room.
Walk the green mile.
Oh, no.
Right? So I turn around, and the conference room is down the hallway, mm-hmm. the other way. Like, if I would have taken a left out of the stairway, I would have gone to the conference room.
Yep.
So he's going this way, and now I'm walking, as I've always said, the green mile. And I look down in the conference room, and the general manager of the television station is sitting in the conference room. So now a little bit what goes through my mind is, well, I kind of knew at that point.
Really? Either really good or really bad.
I didn't think I did anything horrible. Yeah. Like, I almost walked in there and said, geez, the sportscast was that bad? Yeah. Like, and
break the ice a little bit.
And so that night, so at about 6:45, he sits down and says, hey, we're, you know, I don't know. We think the world of you, but we're exercising the clause in your contract.
Yeah, all the good stuff.
To let you
we'll
go.
See you, yeah.
And I'm speechless at that point. And So at that point, I'm not like groveling. I'm not like, well, what can I do? I grab a broom. Like, I was more like, I did say, I'm pretty branded to this place. I've been here 16 years. You know, you don't see any other spot, you know, available. And I was not offered a pay cut, and which I think some people were over the years. And so it was a straight philosophy change. Mm. And to this day, I don't think they ever really replaced me. Mm. Because Clay did everything on his own after that, and it became. And it was a transformation of the industry, I think. And I've talked about this before with the ticker and everything else that kind of started. And so you found out on a TV interview, and I found out after in my earpiece.
Oh, man.
Pretty much. Coach wants, and I always said, the coach wants to see you bring your playbook. Yeah. And in my side, it was, coach wants to bring your IFB, which is your earpiece. And that was it. And so the great irony is that they wanted to hire me back that fall as an independent and doing it. And I told Jay-Z this during the commercial, and I'll tell you TLC. So at that point, I wanted to tell them, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. Right. But I called my beloved friend Demetrius Stanley, and I said, guess what? You're not going to believe this. Like, this was in like August. I was having lunch with Clay at Subway in Grandview, and the old news director walked in to grab a sandwich. And he's like, hey, you know, what's going on? I'd like to talk to you. I'm like, about what? And I called up D and I said, all right, you're not going to believe this. They want us back. And he said to me, I'll follow your lead. Mm-hmm. If you want to do it, I'm all for it. If you want to tell them, forget it. And I looked at him, I said, you know what? I've always held my life like this. Like, let's do what's best for us, not what's not good for them, and stay on the air. Yep. Stay on the air. It's a lot easier to get a job.
Never hurts to be seen on TV.
It's better to be in than out. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And then obviously, planets aligned, and the Fan did so good for me. Yeah. And after that, they're like, you know, full time, and I'm like, all right,
yep,
bye bye TV. Exactly. And I was so happy to do it. Mm. But we all have a story, and we've all persevered. Look at I feel so bad about what happened to you that, but I understand. But the story, your story will not be, your story unfortunately doesn't get told in all that stuff, plane hurt, having a frozen shoulder, all that, never wanting to come out, losing your job for injury, and having another player that, you know, they had to kind of tightrope with a little bit with stuff off the field. But that player turned out to be a legendary player.
Heisman Trophy winner.
So,
all goes away.
No one would ever take that away.
No.
All right, we'll come back with the old SEC and trying to do a little end around the league, and we'll do that next. Rothman.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, July 30th, and all email submissions must be in by July 27th. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see areas of thunderstorms into the afternoon today. Some of those could be strong with gusty winds, also locally heavy rain possible. Should catch a bit of a break for part of the afternoon before a few more storms may develop for the evening hours. Otherwise, look for highs in the lower 80s, pretty humid as well. Tonight, clearing skies, mid-60s. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny and pleasant, highs in the mid-70s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
It just means more. Yes, the Southeastern Conference symbolizing tradition and prestige. They're preparing Jay-Z to kind of go their own way. I don't know if this is just... I guess if you were really preparing to do this, maybe you wouldn't be as public about it. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I feel like that's more of a in the middle of the night. They're going to come out the next day and be like, this happened, everybody. The
Mayflower movie vans. The Colts moving to Indy. So there have been some recent statements made by SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. This was in, I mean, you go back to last year, about the potential departure from the NCAA. And is suggesting that the SEC might be positioning itself to become the first power conference to actually break away. And the SEC meetings this week, the reports came up again that the presidents of the SEC, all the member schools, had kind of granted Sankey the authority to... You want to pull out if it's in your best interest. And so now he denied that. He said, I don't have the authority to just depart the NCAA. That's not been voted upon. I've shared with the decision-making working group. I have people in my room asking, why are we still in the NCAA? Oh, that's so calculated.
Yeah.
While it remains unclear whether Sankey will ultimately lead him out, I think they're distancing themselves. I don't know what...
Yeah, but where do you lead them to? How's that work if you're the only conference doing so?
I think they would believe others would follow. Yeah. I think they would believe
you
that
build it, they
either
will come.
The Super League Big Ten with them, and all of a sudden, there's your playoff. Now, I think the timing of this is very...
With
it's not a coincidence.
Save Your Sports Act.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. So... If it's aligned with the SEC's push to gain greater control over college sport athletics, because there's a lot of turbulence right now, this House versus the NCAA settlement, the introduction of a new revenue sharing model, the restructuring the playoff system. And so here's the case. So under the proposed settlement in the House case, the Power Five conferences would hold up to 65% of the voting power on rulemaking committees across a range of decisions. The SEC, I guess, is suggesting increasing that figure, that percentage. Now, the commissioners from the smaller conferences, they're like, this is going to erode everything. And it says here, if the SEC and the Big Ten are allowed to dominate the governing of college sports, the checks and balances would be a little off. But I just think the idea of breaking away from the NCAA, this has been going around Power Four, particularly the Big Ten and the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been granted even more autonomy than most conferences. But I guess people are not happy with the current structure of how it's governed. And Sankey has keep acknowledging that they're going after greater authority and independence. And
well, nobody's ever really loved the NCAA, right? I mean,
that's right.
Since even when I was there, it's kind of like, what are we doing? You know, if we all just didn't go out and play, like they would have to figure something out. But I mean, you know, you never do that. But I remember back then, like what? They just hand down... You know, punishments, or you're allowed to play, you're not allowed to play. Nobody really knows where it all comes from or how they come up with their answer. And so I think people are just sick of it. And recently they've just been doing nothing because they don't want to make anybody mad. So they don't leave because I imagine they make a decent amount of money off the football.
think you could throughout keep, the season. Stay with them, get your advisory group.
Yeah, if you're going to do something like that, that's a five-year deal. I mean, you got to be a lot of I's to dot and T's to cross, I imagine, if you're thinking about leaving the NCAA.
They think it's real. Heather Dinich was reporting on this from the SEC meetings.
Here you go.
All right, Heather, what are you hearing about whether or not it's realistic for the SEC to break away from the NCAA in the near future?
Oh, it's very real, and this is something that has been going on for months because SEC presidents and chancellors have been talking about this since about February when they met in Nashville to talk about options of self-governance if they cannot get federal legislation. I mean, that's where the conversations are. And you can look at the Big 12 and the Texas Tech incident with Brendan Sorsby as an example of what this means. Because when you're talking about breaking away from the NCAA, you're talking about making and enforcing your own rules. In that case, the NCAA wasn't able to enforce its own rules on gambling. So the SEC and Greg Sankey will tell you, we already do make some of our rules and enforce them. But if they can't get help from the federal government, get some antitrust protection so that every time they try to make a rule, the NCAA, they don't get turned around and somebody sues them for it. That's what these conversations are about.
So why would the SEC's rules be kind of ironclad, but the NCAA's rule, like, do we know what the rules are that the SEC wants to institute that the NCAA can't hold up? Like, that's the confusing part to me.
It's very confusing. They're arguing that the bill does not go far enough in limiting the possibility of lawsuits against conferences and schools. That's what they're defending against.
And then they're saying that any judge can just overturn a decision, because that's what happened, right? The NCAA, I mean, their rule did work. Yeah, you're not eligible to play. And then some judge down there said, hold on.
That's right.
Yeah, he can play. So how would that stop the judges from those areas doing the same thing? It sounds to me like the SEC saying, we want to make sure we get everything we want in this bill, or we're going to leave. You know?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we're going to make sure we have this thing ironed out to where we want it to be, or you guys are going to have to deal with us possibly leaving.
Of millions of in NIL payments now. It's so common now that it's hard to even wrap your mind around. I'm looking at the rollout of, so this recent NCAA rule that rewrote eligibility standards and has been...
They're already suing about that.
The players mainly get 5 years to play five for five. So,
and there's a lawsuit from 11 or so players about that, which I kind of understand. Because if you redshirted, that was a year that you could have played under the 5 for 5.
Right.
But you didn't because you had to redshirt. So maybe those guys should get that fifth year to play, even though it would be a sixth year.
I mean, it's a very rich, influential league, just like the Big Ten is. I mean, they think they're the most influential. But meanwhile, I think this is taking their eye off this year's prize. Like, look at the Big Ten racking up titles the last few years.
And you guys are all worried about pulling away from the NCAA.
And now your hopes are on a non-traditional SEC school, Texas. So honestly, I think this is, keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
Try to get back into the spotlight of winning a national title.
Then the Missouri coach to talk about how our, you know, it's only because we play a couple cupcakes. It's like, oh, is that why we've won the last three? Like, get out of here.
All right, we're coming back with Keith Smith, NBA front office show. We'll get his prediction on LeBron. That's next. Rothman and I.
And protect yourself from flying debris.
The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
As we wait, as the LeBron world turns, Keith Smith, NBA front office show, Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan gets hotline. Keith, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I've been in the camp of the longer this goes, I think there's fear of him not... Let me rephrase this. If I'm him and I'm not picking Cleveland, I wouldn't let this linger forever. I just wouldn't. There's too much romance in bookending the career, the kid from Akron. And I'm not saying he's doing it intentionally, but if he picks Miami or the Sixers or Golden State or wherever, like, if it's not going to be the Cavs, get it out sooner rather than later. Maybe the longer it lingers, maybe there's more hope that it will be Cleveland. What is your prediction?
It's funny. Every day you hear something new. One day it's Cleveland, the next it's Miami, the next it's definitely Golden State, and all these people are putting their opinions out there. And I think it really is that he doesn't know yet. I think he really is still working through this and trying to decide where he wants to be. I've been, for a while now, I think it's between Cleveland and Golden State is what makes the most sense to me. Cleveland, for all the reasons you mentioned, you just kind of come there and you basically come full circle and finish your career that way. And then with Golden State, it's a chance to stay close to what's become his adopted home in California. And there's been some talk that he doesn't want to disrupt his family who now lives in Southern California. You know, the Warriors will tell him, oh, you need a weekend off? Go take it. We'll see you back on Monday and those kind of things. So I'm really not sure, where we're going to see this end up.
Do you think, is there a team out there? I don't think he's asking for a ton of money to come in, but is there a team that maybe it works better financially for them? And on the top of that, financially wise, are you going to have to bring Bronny Jr. in as well and give him a few million dollars?
Yeah, it's funny. The Lakers added Matisse Thybul this week, and now the Lakers are +1 in players on their roster. And everybody's like, oh, well, that will resolve when they trade Bronny to wherever LeBron is. So we'll see. I don't know that he's going to set that as absolutely like a must for him to join a team. And then as far as financially goes, right now the Warriors seem to be the ones that can create the most spending power to bring him in. I don't know that the Cavs, the Heat, the Sixers, none of those teams are really able to offer much more than the minimum. So it's going to be really kind of interesting to see how he approaches all of this as it all comes together. But I am going to take them at their word that this is not about the money, because it really can't be about the money, because there's just not a lot of other options.
How much does this backfire if he does go to Cleveland and they don't win? Like, how much does that, because I don't know, would they trade Jared Allen? Would they do something to fit him in? Like, how good of a fit is it with Cleveland now? And if it doesn't work, do you feel like it's still worth the gamble?
Yeah, and it gets that key part that you mentioned about, like, are they going to have to trade some guys to make room and those kind of things? Because if they're going to have to do some of that, then that's going to be a problem, right? Then they're going to certainly be in a position where they're going to be, are they going to weaken the roster so much that it maybe doesn't put them in a place to win. If they are able to kind of bring them in on a minimum contract and don't have to do a lot with the roster, then I think it's probably, in general, it's kind of okay. Let's just see where it all lands and, what it ends up looking like. But I think for now, it's kind of a thing for LeBron where right now it's going to be about, all right, what is he getting paid at the end of the day? That's going to influence how it goes with Cleveland as far as building out the rest of their roster.
Is there a team that you think he fits best on that gives the team, like, if he goes there, they are ready to rock, he's the missing piece, that's a championship caliber team? Is there one of those out there in the four or five you've mentioned?
Yeah, maybe it's just kind of the bias in me that I would like to see all the old guys together. But I think him in Golden State would be a lot of fun. I think that would be something where we could kind of see that. I think there would be some fun with that one. So I think it's that would be kind of interesting to watch that play out. I think the fit in Cleveland is fairly good. I'm not sold that it's going to be great with that, but in Miami, I don't see the fit. Him and Adebayo and Giannis, that's not a great fit shooting wise. I think Philadelphia, there's weird fits, but that's a lot of guys who need the ball all in one lineup, so that becomes a little odd. So yeah, I'm very curious to see how this fits, but I really do think in Golden State with Curry and all the other guys that they have there, assuming Green is back and all that, the ball movement, all the things that would come with them, I think that would be a pretty good fit.
Keith, he doesn't, at least in this decision, even though it would be kind of, hey, where do I have the best chance to maybe win a championship, this doesn't come off to me as a ring chase in a way, right? He's just picking the net. He's doing what any athlete would do, maybe pick a great spot for himself. But it's not like if he landed on Cleveland or Miami or Golden State or Philly or any, I don't think he'd get the accusation of, oh, LeBron's just trying to stack another ring. I don't think it's that easy, and I don't think there's, unless you can tell me a wild card team that he would consider that would be almost a guarantee that he'd play for a title, but it feels like this one at least is more like on the level, if you know what I mean. Like, hey, he's doing what's right for his career and himself right now, but it doesn't sound like it's the same thing as, oh, he's leaving to go to Miami to count rings.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if he wanted to do that, he'd just Thunder have an open roster spot. Mm-hmm. Spurs have an open roster spot. He'd jump on with one of them and say, all right, yo, let's go. Let's go get a title together. I think this really is what they said. It's about him finding happiness and where he wants to be. And I think at this point in his career, it's about how do I end my career in a way where I feel really good about it. And I don't want to be, you know, kind of out here, like you said, just, you know, jumping on anywhere and in ring chase. And I think he wants to find a place where he's going to be happiest. And that's how it kind of all comes together.
How many years do you think he goes back for? One, three? I mean, yeah. I know it's a guess, but I mean,
I don't know, because at this point I'm on like -5, so I really don't know. My guess is probably he's going to take it a year at a time, and maybe what we see him do is like one of those 1+1 deals where he gets a player option on year two. So we'll see if, you know, kind of how that goes together for him. But I think it's probably more likely to be something where he is, you know, it's going to be year by year at this point.
Would he want to avoid the West if he could, if we just make this about basketball right now and picking the best roster and avoiding the West? Is that the idea here?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be some of the things that are out there, is that it's, you know, between Cleveland, Miami, and Philly. That was one of the reports yesterday, but then there was another report that said Golden State's not out of it, and Minnesota doesn't feel like they're out of it either. So I think if it's in the West, it's probably going to be Golden State. I don't think he wants to be, you know, in the Western Conference and not close to what's become his adopted home in Los Angeles. So I think that's part of it. And then I think the other part really kind of becomes for LeBron is, all right, if I can get to the East. But here's the thing. In the East, I don't know that the path is like is any easier now. Top of the East is really, really solid. So I don't think they're in a place where they're going to be, any kind of walk in the park with any of those teams. And I don't know that's what he's looking for. I think it is, you know, again, it's going to be, where am I going to be happiest playing and kind of wrapping up my career.
Do you have an idea of the teams we've mentioned that seem the most likely, like who could actually offer him the most money?
Yeah, right now it's probably, you know, the Warriors and Cavs. What's a little bit confusing in those situations is, excuse me, both of those teams can make some moves. So what they would be able to do is put themselves in a position to essentially bring LeBron in for maybe a chunk of the non-taxpayer mid-level, and then you could kind of work around that with other guys, but primarily being James Harden in Cleveland and then Draymond Green with the Warriors. But for the most part, all those teams that have been mentioned, it's kind of minimum or bust for LeBron, because those teams either have roster spot issues or they're already teams that are kind of like up and over that first apron, and that this is kind of the last signing they can make is to bring him on in on the minimum. So that's, I think, kind of what Rich Paul has been telling us, is this isn't about the money, because I think he knows at the end of the day, the money's probably all going to be just about the same no matter where he lands.
You know, early on, there was a lot of talk about Golden State, Anthony Davis coming up there, or Anthony Davis following him where he goes. Is that still, you know, are those rumors still circulating, or is that anything that, you know, he might be waiting on to see where he ends up?
That's more or less died off, I think, especially as the Warriors extended Kristaps Porzingis and re-signed Al Horford. They're not really in a position. The only way that really works now is if they trade Jimmy Butler in a trade like that. And it feels like what the Warriors are telling everybody is they don't really want to do that. They want to keep Jimmy Butler, see if they can get him back on the court in January and see what it looks like. I'm not going to say that's completely out of the picture, but it doesn't sound like that's anything that's going on. It doesn't sound like that's any kind of condition that LeBron is putting on, hey, if you want me, go get AD, and then, you know, we'll figure it out from here.
You're the man. Great info there. Good conversation, Keith. We appreciate you jumping on, bud. You know, we'll ring you back when this happens.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks. Keith Smith, contributor at Spotrac and Front Office Show. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. he said Warriors based on the cinematic part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when LeBron played with Steph in the Olympics and a couple of years ago, he just praised how like amazing it was.
It'd be like an Olympic team if we had that going on. It would be fun to watch. I just don't know if they could last 82 games in a playoff run.
All right. It continues to be continued. We come back with Tell the Truth. Rothman.
Flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Hazard, flash flooding caused by thunderstorms. Source, radar indicated. Impact, flash flooding of small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets and underpasses, as well as other poor drainage and low-lying areas. Some locations that will experience flash flooding include Zanesville, Cambridge, Caldwell, New Concord, Desville, South Zanesville, North Zanesville, Philo, Pleasant Grove, Pleasant City, Cumberland, Bell Valley, Fultonham, Norwich, Chandlersville, High Hill, Bridgeville, Duncan Falls, Ruraldale, and Kendallville. Turn around, don't drown when encountering flooded roads. The severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Union County, Ohio is canceled. The severe thunderstorm which prompted the warning has moved out of the warned area. Therefore, the warning has been canceled. A severe thunderstorm watch remains in effect until 8 p.m. for central Ohio. A severe thunderstorm warning remains in effect until 3:30 p.m. for northeastern Franklin, southern Delaware, and west central Licking counties. At 2:45 p.m., a severe thunderstorm was located over Powell, moving east at 35 miles an hour. Hazard, 60 miles an hour wind gusts. Source, radar indicated. Impact, expect damage to trees and power lines. Locations impacted include.
I guess if you got it signed or if it is a one of one,
that's got to be big no matter
what.
It's not
like a rookie. It's not a rookie card. It's not that, but it's.
But it's one of one.
It's one of one. So that's.
With two of the what, best players? I mean, the other kid's pretty good.
That
right?
means it's non fungible.
Let me see this. It may be.
I'm going to big word loop myself.
I wonder if.
Where am I?
Yeah, that's big word alert on that. Yeah, we. I'll have to do some research on this. I don't know if the card is of him holding the baby or with the baby in the little bathtub or whether it's
like the two of them,
on the field together
as adults.
Because there was a shot of them.
Maybe you, could do a front and back.
Yeah.
You know, here's how it started. Here's how it ended in the World Cup.
My goodness. All right. Someone will buy it.
Oh.
Or millions.
Millions of dollars.
Take us home, my man.
Alrighty, so Will Stein is the head coach, the new head coach at the University of Kentucky. He was at SEC Media Days, and he was asked, why is it going to be different under you? And, you know, everybody wants to be, in sports, you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in yourself even when nobody else does, because you can't take the field just expecting to lose, because then you have no chance of winning. So in order to achieve whatever you are capable of, you have to think more highly of yourself than maybe everybody else does, and maybe even more than is actually reasonable, but you got to believe that way, and Will Stein does.
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think because of me. I think I know what it takes. I've seen it at the highest levels. I know what it takes to recruit at this level. And you just got to believe, man. You just got to put the ball down and play. There's not really else to be said.
And that's why he's going to be successful at Kentucky, because of him. That's why things are changing.
This is taken out of context a little bit.
I mean, well, he stopped himself. Like, kind of, he's like, this is going to sound
was the
bad.
Question, yeah. Was the question phrased like,
you know what? I actually played the wrong one.
Okay.
I meant to play the full one, so let's do that.
All right.
You said you came here because you can believe you can win here. Why is that? Kentucky historically has fought against the narrative, against perception. Why do you think you can win big here?
This is going to sound like really, I think because of me, to be honest. I think because of me. I think.
And then so on and so forth.
I got zero problem with it.
I don't
think it's even out of the Kurt Cignetti school. Like,
it's not that brazen, right?
No,
it's kind of like, this isn't going to sound great.
Google me. He doesn't have that pedigree yet, but he's, listen.
Purdue sucks. Okay. So does Michigan and Ohio State.
Yes, and he backed it up. That you can never take that away from him. No. But this is a guy that played quarterback at Louisville, and now he's at UK. And I think he wanted to stop himself, like you said, but he wanted to say, because I'm going to, he didn't say this. This is why I would have said, because I'm going to work my ass off and nothing's going to stop us from succeeding. Yeah. That we're not going to lose. Now, he didn't go as far as saying, I don't lose, but I mean,
I'm from down the road. I know the area. I'm going to be a recruit here.
That's
I have
a
really
much,
good feeling that I'm going to bring a winning culture into this place. And, you know, I really believe we're going to be able to do that.
That I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't succeed, it won't be because I didn't spend every waking moment. Now, he could have gone that route. So you're right. It comes up. But I think people would accuse him of that's right out of the Cignetti school of his presser, which is I win, Google me. Mm-hmm. He didn't have that. He doesn't have that history. I mean, coaching high school football 5 years ago or whatever it was. So,
but you got to have that. I mean, every big time coach has that belief in them, right? I mean, you have to. Just like Cole was talking about. You got to have that belief in yourself if you're taking over a program and you're sitting there telling them why you should hire me, because I'm gonna turn this around. You know,
and essentially said, not in these exact words, that I'm going to get great players that I'm going to recruit, like, because of me. It starts with me. I think that's kind of where he was going with it.
Yeah, I mean, what's he supposed to say? Like, I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll see what happens.
Maybe it'll be great. Yeah. Maybe it'll be terrible.
Yeah, maybe I brought some good coaches in. I'm not sure, but we're going to see how it plays out.
And how else are you supposed to feel right after you get promoted? Like, I think he was Oregon's OC.
He was.
Mm-hmm. And then you go from there to being a power conference head coach. Like, how are you not supposed to believe in yourself at that moment and be like, yeah, I got this job because of my resume up to this point, and then somebody else believed in me, and I've always believed in myself, so go figure.
They asked the same thing to Cignetti. What makes you believe that you can bring successful winning football to Indiana of all places?
We don't just beat top 25 teams, we beat the shit.
That's not even the one. I mean, it's the Google me, right? It's the...
Well, the basketball thing, you're and then fighting. I think was it the Google before or after the basketball? Because they were very close to each other, I believe.
I don't know which.
But it was just like, we got hit with a couple things. Yeah. There's like,
that
would have
been in succession, though. Yeah, because it would have been.
He probably the press conference, then he went to the basketball game that night or something like that. Yeah, so he was just doubling down.
That would have been within the same week, I bet.
Yeah, well, easily. He doubled down.
It's a hell of a week.
Yeah. Hey. People are looking at him like, this guy is crazy.
But it's the same type of question, because it's not like Kentucky is known for.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of in the same boat, right?
But Indiana, I mean, that's the doormat of all doormats when it came to football. They've had some players, and they've come close to pulling upsets, but nothing like any of this would have been predicted. And for him to come in that strong that soon and do it and then back it up. Now, if you asked me whether Will Stein is going to turn around, you know, and do the same thing, I would say no.
Yeah.
But
in today's world, man, you get enough backing. There's some money down the blue.
I think that's a one-of-one of what Cignetti did.
I agree.
With the guys from Dolly Madison Gems and
I still don't believe that he's
going
to be able to do it again. I got to wait and see again.
I don't even know what doing it again would be for Indiana.
Well,
maybe just being in the playoffs.
Just being in the playoffs, making the playoff, you know, losing two games a year or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, if you make the playoffs most years, that is a franchise turnaround. You can't win the championship.
Planted the flag.
Yeah.
If they knocked him off and he tumbled all the way down, it wouldn't matter.
No.
Whatever he had to prove,
you got nothing to prove.
Right. Like, I don't think, he got to win the championship a second year to convince you that, okay, he's like,
well,
legit
to convince
now?
Me that that's a big game, you know, I just need to see them go out and win more than 2 years.
16-0 and doing
They did it at a high clip. No doubt.
If they go 10-2 this year, shame.
That's a win. That's a win. Huge. I think that's a great season for him.
Jay-Z, it was fun, my man.
Thank you for having me.
Commanded Timmy up next. They'll go inside the Buckeyes at 3:46, and then Timmy's going to try to convince Mike to go back into the movie theater. What kind of theater? You'll find out.
Boy.
Rothman.